Hey, so I'm just going to start, instead of inviting in the directions in the traditional way that I normally do, this is November 26th, and I'm going to be primarily talking about feminine energies right now, focusing on that. And I promise you that in December, around the solstice, I'm going to talk a lot about so many of the planets that are shifting energies coming up in December and through 2018. But I really want to talk about the feminine and what's happening with her and give you a little overview of the Scorpio mysteries, which are very amplified right now in many, many ways, not just in where the signs are, but where the energy is, where the feminine is, and where she's going over the next few months. But normally I'll open up with inviting in the directions, but I want to do that in a different way, in a way that's more participatory for you. So what I'd really like you guys to do is to just drop a beautiful roots down from the root of your sacrum right into the core of the earth and say hello to below. And ask to receive energy and blessings from the energy below us, the earth. And now just allow yourself to focus above you. See a golden light above your head. Extend your consciousness into that light and breathe that light into your heart. And then extend that light all through your bodies, saying hello to the above, breathing in the energy of above. And now just inviting in the north, breathing in the energies of the north, the south, the east, and the west, the many blessings that they offer us. And feel yourself just filling with energy and blessings. Your mind doesn't need to know everything about them just yet. And now we're going to shift it, and we're going to send our love, our blessings down into the earth, down below. And we're going to send our blessings and our love up and around us to the great above. And in front of us, north, behind us, south, east and west, on either side of us, we just extend our love and our blessings out. I think this is a nice way to be with the directions. And now bring your energy back into presence. Put on your receptive caps, and we're just going to begin with a little bit of a journey into some of the energies available now. And so for people who haven't heard me talk a lot before, I just want to say that the way I view astrology is not that we get a reality plopped on us from the stars, that it doesn't create our reality. What it does is it shows us what energies are available to us, what's in the field, and it shows us the magic of as above, so below, as within, so without. There are lots of breadcrumbs for us to follow, and lots of ways that our story is reflected. And this is one of the ways. And we'll never really be able to figure out or understand how it works. Scientifically or even rationally, we're not going to be able to figure out why, when lots of energy shifts into Scorpio, it seems that a lot of really hidden things that haven't been spoken of, particularly in the feminine, suddenly come into the culture and are suddenly spoken about. But we know that that's true. We know what Scorpio represents. And I just see it as it's a way for us to be connected to the great mystery, and that we'll never really fully understand the great mystery, but that there are ways for us to see what energies are available and how to participate with these energies in the most powerful way that will move us forward in evolution. And that we are at a time that Joanna Macy calls the Great Turning, that the Hindus call a Kali Yuga, that the Mayans call the end of time, and we're starting to see in our culture, like, wow, this stuff is really true. This isn't just theoretical anymore. Time is speeding up just as things have been predicted, and the structures in our world are melting down. And a lot of things that have been hidden are coming to light in ways that it's hard to see that they are liberating, but they are, because anything that's visible can be rendered less powerful than when it's hidden. And we have a master of rendering invisible visible in our president, in that he's almost like a giant kid in like this underground, invisible, mysterious labyrinth, and he's like taking all this stuff that was hidden and he's just spewing it out into the reality in a very dangerous way. And it's impossible for people to pretend that things are normal anymore, and that we haven't been living in a death-inspired culture that is cannibalizing the home, our home, and the feminine. Because the earth is the feminine, our bodies is the feminine, our levels of intimacy and connectivity is a reflection of the feminine. And what I want to just start with sharing is that there, the cycles of the sun and the moon and Venus are our most visible cycles. Every day we can see the sunrise and the sunset. And every month we can see how the moon changes and how we might feel differently in a full moon versus a new moon. We can feel and see those reflections. And the same is true with Venus. Venus, the goddess, has these very, very visible 580-day cycles. And almost every shamanic culture, including and especially the Mayans, really were interested in the cycles of Venus. So visible. So we began a new 580-day cycle in April with the overtone of Aries. And we'll get into Aries in a moment. But she is a version of the goddess that is a ferocious, alive leader. You know, she is the mama bear with her babies. And if you mess with her babies, you are in for it. So this is not the version of the feminine that's like, let me just rub your little nose. She is ferociously in love with her creation. We are her creation. The vulnerable is her creation. And the earth is her creation. And so she is definitely standing up with a fierceness for all that has been violated in a way that we haven't seen or felt in a long time. And so when Venus begins a new cycle, the first thing that happens is she will disappear for 10 days to 30 days. We don't see Venus at night. It's very obvious. We don't see Venus in the morning. It's very obvious. And then Venus rises as a morning star, which she did in April in the sign of Aries. And then once a month, we start to see Venus with a crescent moon, which is a very powerful symbol culturally for many people. And I would just invite you, when you see Venus with the crescent moon, to just feel into it. I'll give you a little bit of information, but it's more important to something happens to us when we sit under the night sky and we feel things in our body. It changes us electrically, and it gives us a transmission that we don't always understand with our minds, but we get to move with that energy in our life. So anyway, Venus has been rising in the morning, just before sunrise, and once a month we see her with the moon. In early November, we saw her with Jupiter, so bright, right before sunrise. She was waking. I was in Costa Rica, and I was facing the sunrise, and every morning she and Jupiter would wake me up, and it was a spectacular sight. And now what's going to happen is Venus is entering a part of the cycle where she's going to disappear from the morning sky for, well, between November 28th and February 11th. And this is a very interesting part of the cycle. So for the first part of the cycle, the feminine is going through an initiation very similar to the initiation of Inanna. And in fact, the myth of Inanna was something that people created because they were watching the movement of the stars and the planets and bring it into their mythos. And so each month, we are releasing a part of ourselves that no longer serves us. So it's all about releasing energy that no longer serves us. Until finally we end up in the underworld. And in the myth of Inanna, she goes through seven gates. And those seven gates are associated with when Venus is with the moon. The moon is a little boat, and Venus is in the boat going to the next gate. Then Venus is in the underworld. She's gone into the underworld to visit her sister Urshkagal and to grieve the death of Gulagana. And when she's there, her sister strips her naked, puts her on a spit, and keeps her in the underworld. Now that is about where we are going to be with the feminine energies. And this is a time for us where people's, first of all, if you're in a Venus cycle, it means that you are in a cycle of you're either 8 years old or 15, 16 years old or 24 years old or so on and so forth. Every 8 years, we are personally in a reactivation of our feminine energies. And the first part of that activation is releasing. Then going into the underworld, being stripped bare, being stripped naked, really having to see what we need to release and what we need to feel. So it tends to be a very deep feeling time. And eventually, Inanna has these messengers come down into the underworld. She knows that when she goes down there, it's very dangerous and she may not come back. Because when we go into realms of death and rebirth, or we go into initiation, there's no guarantee that we're going to come back from it in a healthy way. And yet we all are called at different points in our life to go into these realms, to look at what we have been unwilling to look at and to feel what we've been unwilling to feel. And anyway, Inanna, you know, brings these messengers in or has them come in and say, you know, if I don't come back, come down and get me. And when they go down, they see her stripped bare and naked, and Urshkagal's like, no, I'm not letting her go. She's the queen of the overworld and everyone loves her, and I'm the queen of the underworld and no one loves me, everyone is afraid of me and I'm totally sick of it. And she starts unburdening herself to these messengers. And as she starts to name her feelings and to name her pain and to have that be reflected back to her through these messengers, she starts to feel better, of course. And then she says, you know, I feel much better. I will grant you any wish. And they say, well, we want Inanna. So Inanna comes back up, and over this next 7 to 8 months, we see Venus as an evening star, and we see 7 or 8 moon conjunctions again, and each time we're receiving a transmission back of something that we're receiving back around our connection to the feminine. And so in February and throughout the spring and summer, this is what's going to be happening. And it's interesting that Venus is going to be in the underworld at the same time that we've got Jupiter in Scorpio, and that we have Venus in Scorpio, and Mars is going to be moving into Scorpio, and Vesta's in Scorpio. And the Sun was, and the Sun wasn't. So lots of Scorpio energy. So I'm just going to read an invitation for us to look at Scorpio energy, because Scorpio energy is very much connected to the underworld, where the feminine is going anyway. So if we think that we've seen in the culture, the most of what we're going to see around some of this really disturbing information coming up about what women are experiencing, no, more is coming. And more is coming in our own lives around being made aware of what it is that we haven't wanted to see or feel. And it's not just in our own personal lives. It's what is happening on the planet. That when we bury our pain, they grow roots. It tends to grow roots in our bodies. And the planet is speaking very loudly because Venus in this overtone of Aries is this fierce, I'm going to slap you awake. I'm going to wake you up to what's going on. Your methods of denial are not going to work. And I'm going to inspire you, once you surrender to my ferociousness, towards action. And it's going to be inspired action in your individual lives, and it's going to be inspired action in the world. And it isn't something that you can figure out, like, okay, I better write down what might that inspired action be, or I better make a list of things. This aspect of the feminine is not really operating through the rational, logical mind. She's operating through the body, through the emotions and through these very deep terrains that they can be experienced but not always easily articulated. This is the realm of also the goddess Kali and Pele. Kali, I will remind you, is an Indian goddess that wears around her neck the skulls of those that she has devoured. Her fingers are claws and her arms have serpents. And what she's devouring is everything that needs to die so that we can be reborn. And we are giving birth to an entirely new paradigm and a new reality. And this energy, this cauldron that we're in right now, that is getting stronger and stronger, in fact, is assisting us in, like, what are you going to plop into the cauldron and what are you going to ladle out? But it's so fierce that it requires us to surrender to our emotions and our grief and our rage, that our world is controlled by beings that are addicted to power and greed and denial. And as we surrender to this and not judge it, as many people judge this, there's a wisdom to this now, that we will then be given instructions from a deeper part of ourselves as we just rip off layers of trauma that hasn't been fully processed. You know, when we go really deep into trauma, we freeze. And the job of the feminine that's very active now is to thaw us out. Venus in Aries is fiery. She's thawing out that frozen energy so that we can meet it with our fierce compassion for ourselves, with our courage to be able to witness and see the truth of what's happening, with our compassion for our grief and our sense of powerlessness at times, and then wake and then stepping into, okay, what's my role? And you will know, because we are all born with purpose and on purpose. We don't have to figure out our purpose. We just have to listen. We've been encoded with it. We are here in these times for a reason. So there's a couple of quotes that I don't want to forget to tell you. And also say that in all the shamanic traditions that I've been in, there's a very important initiation that shamans go through, which is called dismemberment. Christians call it transfiguration, and shamans call it dismemberment. And I've been through this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And once you get used to it, it feels really good. But we are going through this collectively, and it is the feminine that is our guide. So what is dismemberment and what is transfiguration? Well, dismemberment is once you've accessed a really strong connection to your inner guides and you totally trust them, and you go into the invisible realms and you meet your guides, you often go with a request or an intention for healing or an intention on someone's behalf for healing. And at this point, when you go in, you get a surprise. Instead of, you know, giving you information or saturating you with light or helping your patient or client or whatever, they maybe turn into a fierce dragon and they, like, spew fire at you or they rip you apart. And you are left in your invisible kind of inner realm with nothing. You know, your skin is gone, your organs are gone, you're down to the bone. You're stripped down to the bone. But then your guides start to reform you. So before you leave the journey, they will automatically, this isn't something you visualize or create or make happen. This happens the way a dream would happen. And it happens at a certain phase of a shamanic initiation. And when they reform you, you start to, if you're feeling with your body what's happening, you're going to start to feel this new energy. So for me, this has happened hundreds of times, and it always feels better and better and better. To now, when I'll go into a journey, I'll often immediately drop my body, dissolve to light, merge with the light around me, and receive whatever gifts of healing that I'm to receive on behalf of whoever I'm working on or myself. And Andrew Harvey, who talks about this a lot, as that we are going through this process as a global community. I'm calling it dismemberment, and he's calling it transfiguration. We're going through a death and rebirth. We are being eaten alive by this force of the feminine, and she's eating every part of us that doesn't work to create the new world with. And it's again, you don't have to understand it, you just have to surrender, because if you don't, it's going to happen anyway. And to surrender to the feelings that come up. And so as we stand on the brink of Venus coming into the underworld with all this Scorpio energy in amplifying this, it's a very potent time. And it's a very potent time to remember that that which no longer serves us, that is released, is beautiful. And in fact, it feels good. It feels good, like if you're getting a facial and you're getting skin sloughed off and then you're all shiny. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Andrew Harvey calls Kali the golden mother as well as the dark mother, that as much as she is destroying the old, she is birthing the new. And so I'm going to get into what many of you have heard so many times before. We're at the beginning and the end of a 26,000-year cycle. We have about 144 years of working with being in a transitional time. And this is a time when the winter solstice sun is at galactic center. And I'll talk more about that when we're actually at winter solstice, because there's going to be a lot of things happening. But there is a lot happening at galactic center right now, and we'll speak of that in a moment. But I do want to just talk about Scorpio. Scorpio is very resonant with the underworld. The goddess associated with Scorpio is, in fact, Kali. So let's just discuss for a moment Scorpio, because Jupiter is in Scorpio, and Jupiter is a huge and beautiful planet. That when Jupiter is in a sign or an archetype, it is animating those mysteries. It is giving life to them. We say that Jupiter in this planet or that planet changes once a year. This is the teacher for us for the year. These are the mysteries that are being really expanded in us. And these mysteries are in Scorpio, which again is very resonant with what I talked about the planet Venus being in the underworld. So Jupiter is in Scorpio, started in October, and it's going to go through November. It just so happens that when Jupiter went into Scorpio, the planet Venus was there. The sun was in Scorpio. Vesta represents what we are in service to. So a lot of energy around this. So I'm just going to read an invocation to Scorpio and share a little bit more about her. We invite the mysteries of Scorpio, the element of water, the season of late autumn and the cross quarter between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice, when the plants surrender their life, going underground, preparing for the new life yet to come. I'm a master in the realms of magic and life force energy. I am wildness. I am an edge walker. I am a sorcerer or sorceress, meaning that I am connected to source. I am ecstasy, merging will and desire to create powerful magic. Come lose yourself in the realms of emotion, desire, and passion. I will take you deeper than you have ever been before. I am a catalyst. I am a shaman. I die to what no longer serves and embrace the resulting transformation. Let's dive deep together. So this energy is massively amplified this month because so many planets are in Scorpio, as well as throughout the whole year. And so it's like a double hit of this underworld, hidden interior realm. Scorpio has to do with our instincts, has to do with making our unconscious conscious, doing really, really deep inner work, really going for deep, deep intimacy. Scorpio does not like surface connection, does not like chatter at the coffee house, wants to go right deep, right to the heart of the matter. Scorpio is associated with strong psychic forces, and that tree that loses its leaves, as the trees are losing the leaves now, doesn't die, but all the life force goes really deep. And it goes really deep because it's concocting up what she's going to give birth to in the springtime. So there's this very hidden aspect to Scorpio, and deep. Scorpio has access to the invisible worlds, tends to be likes danger, edginess, likes the esoteric world, is very spicy. Scorpio is very happy navigating in the dark. Scorpio is also associated with accessing our Kundalini, our serpent energy, our Eros, our Shakti, our aliveness. This is the part of the goddess that descends right into our root chakra and wakes us up with the truth of how things truly are, but also with bliss, with aliveness. We were never meant to be separated from the divine. We were never meant to have the divine be anything separate from our body. And our sexual energy isn't one of the ways that we access this feminine. And it's one of the first things that happened in this time that human beings were separated from our inner divinity, is that sexuality became sin. And anything is, you know, and we became ashamed. And so this is also an amazing time to do really deep work around opening up your connection to your own root, your aliveness, and to just let these forces, whether it's through breath work, through, you know, continuum, through dancing and movement, you know, through deep body work, through tantra, this is a time to really invite in these mysteries. It is also a time that everything hidden around us, which we are seeing around the abuse of the power around sexuality, the abuse of hidden money, hidden things happen around sexuality, that Scorpio will reveal, because this is where we go into the dark places and we shine the light. That's what Scorpio likes to do, and that's what the underworld places like to do. And what's in the darkness isn't just the abuse and isn't just all of the incredible manipulations. It's also our power, our light, and our love that we have disowned. And Scorpio invites all of it to play and be completely, fully embodied. Scorpio is all about full embodiment, feeling her to the tips of your toes and down into the fingers. It feels like warm, liquid, melting light. And so that's where we are. I think it's important to embrace this with a warm invitation to really dive to the parts of you, to the hidden, to what you've been in denial about, and to really wake up to what makes you come alive. Scorpio likes to ask, what makes me come alive? And Scorpio is about giving birth to an embodied state of what we need to be to give birth to this new energy that has been coming in since 2008. Amplified again in 2011 and 2012 with the end of the Mayan calendar. We've been digesting and assimilating an energy that we don't understand. It's so new. And so we can only feel it. We haven't been, a lot of people are like, I don't know what to do. But in the next 5 years, starting this December at solstice, when Saturn moves into Capricorn, we're going to start figuring out what to do. We're still going to be downloading, really for the rest of our lives. Part of our job is to be like lightning rods, to bring in, to seed this new energy into our bodies, and then one by one, to animate it into the world in a way that is about bringing blessings, bringing beauty, and bringing, birthing new structures, new ways of doing relationship. And again, we can't figure it out. We can only set our intentions. And be willing, and particularly this winter, to do the deep inner work to clear out the crap that needs to be cleared out. And hold steady as you watch in the culture this unconscious, uninitiated masculine energy that's running amok, that's very visibly, you know, creating a massive amount of destruction. It's going to start to get taken down by the feminine more and more and more and more. And people are going to rise up and create shifts and changes. That's what's available to us. So actually, when I say when people rise up, I don't know what people are going to do. people may run into under their covers and freeze. We don't know what anyone's going to do with this. We know what the highest possible intention to do with this is to make space for this divine feminine that's waking us up, animating us, making us come alive, feeling really good, clearing us out, and getting us ready to behave in very courageous ways where we are trailblazing a totally new way. And that's what's available to us. But we are the bridges. We're the ones that actually have to animate this and create with this. And so each one of us in our own ways needs to work with this. I wish I could say I knew what the outcome will be. The outcome is intended to be that eventually we create, out of this death spiral we're in, new structures that are really regenerative. And they've already begun. I was in Costa Rica a few weeks ago. The whole country's going renewable, very quietly, like very soon. You can air condition your whole house on a solar power. That's for the same price. I mean, there's so many innovations happening and so many cultural innovations happening that are beneath the surface, but we're so traumatized by the shocking events of this past year that it's difficult to stay focused on what we wish to animate, and that is done by design. People who are in a state of trauma tend to freeze, and so our job is to unfreeze ourselves. The best way to do that is through movement. Animals shake. So in the morning, you can turn on some music and just very gently for 5 or 10 minutes, just kind of shake a little bit. You can also turn on music, and if you don't want to shake, you can just boogie. Move in ways that are not normal for you to move in. It will literally unfreeze you. Go to ecstatic dance. Do things differently than you normally do. If you take walks in the woods, do a different walk a different way. Move your body. Don't put any pressure on yourself to understand everything that's happening or to be able to answer the question why. Why are we in such a profound death spiral where, you know, where Carolyn Casey says the dementors are in charge right now. How do we empower what we wish to animate? And I have a quote by Carolyn Casey that I love, and that is, I won't be able to find it, but I will. What we focus on in another is the part of them that we invite to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. And so the more we're focused on what we don't want to see, the more we empower that. And at the same time, we absolutely must look at the stark reality of a process of extinction that's happening on our planet in a quicker and quicker accelerating way. We can't look away, but we also can't give all of our energy to this and pull it from putting energy into things that we really want to see blossom and grow. So a couple other things I want to tell you about is that Neptune, which is the visionary realm of dreams, it's another aspect of the invisible realm. It's our imaginative realm where things really, you know, first we imagine and then we create. And so right now, Neptune is in a very harmonious and empowering relationship to Jupiter and the Sun. And this is going to happen all the way through mid-December, which means we have greater aspect to the world of visions, to the world of dreams, to that part of us that came here, that incarnated in this time with something encoded in us of what we wanted to bring into this world, something we wanted to animate in a good way, a blessing that we wanted to bring into the world through our life. And our visions and our dreams at this time can give us a lot of clues, even if we don't rationally understand them. So I would encourage you to write down your dreams, to take time to space out, to just be in the woods and hang out with the trees and feel and just be in that felt sense that love is real and love is the only true reality. That's what Neptune shares with us. And Neptune is about listening to inner guidance and tuning into a new vision. And because Neptune is trining Jupiter, which Jupiter helps us bring things into the world, and going to be actually in a relationship with Saturn, has been in a relationship with Saturn. Right now, Saturn's in a relationship to another very spiritual initiator in a very harmonious way, and that Saturn is trine Uranus, has been for a while, and will be all the way through mid-December, which is another way of sort of articulating this as a time of the spiritual realms awakening us and whispering, do this, go that direction, meet these people, you know. So there is a time that we're in that there's a lot of synchronicity. Uranus is all about empowering equality and democracy and awakening us to our connection with our higher selves and awakening us to what the future is asking from us. What do our descendants need for us to do now? So that seven generations from now, they're in the most positive place they can possibly be, even given the fact that we're in this shattering time. One of the things is to work with trauma, to make it so that it's so easy to heal it, that we're so used to moving and dancing and speaking to one another and empowering the best in each other, being willing to invite to dance with us the most beautiful, powerful part of our friends and our beloveds, seeing it, empowering it, and giving each other opportunities also to share our grief and our rage so that we can shed that from our energy, which must be done. This is not a time for spiritual bypass. Is that it is a very dangerous thing to do in these water, in these really deep waters, to pretend that you're not in a vortex that's sucking you under means you're not getting out. So it's an interesting time that we're in. What else did I want to just tell you? Oh, that Saturn has been in Sagittarius for about 2.5 years. And Saturn is at late, very late degrees Sagittarius right now. Saturn is at 27 degrees Sagittarius, which means Saturn is moving and clicking into a place called Galactic Center. Galactic Center is about 26 degrees Sagittarius to about 4 degrees Capricorn. And Saturn helps us to put into practical structure what our visions are. And so Saturn is literally at the part of the universe. Galactic Center is where the path of the planets cross the Milky Way. It's the black hole with a huge amount of energy coming in. And so any planet that's there is being transmitted with these new frequencies. So Saturn, which is the energy of bringing things into form and manifesting and figuring out what's working and what's not working and bringing in what's going to work better, is being also seeded with this really potent energy. And right before solstice, the sun is going to be there. The sun is going to be there at solstice. So we're in this time of very highly potent time. So you want to be very conscious that you are receiving a lot of information that may not be something that your mind is able to grasp and understand, but that is happening nonetheless. And it's also a time of allowing yourself to feel what you feel, release, but also be very connected to the dreams, the intuitions, the synchronicities, getting ready for the fact that as we are clicking into this time where we are connecting with all of this beautiful energy, this new energy that's seeding the future, that we stay rested, well hydrated, and also well mineralized. That whenever, think about it this way, our bodies are like wires. And the energy that we're trying to bring through our wiring is energy that our wires weren't built for. If we are older, if we are younger, the younger generation, they were built for, they have different wiring, literally, than we do. And so it takes minerals to run energy. You're running a lot of energy right now. So you sometimes might feel queasy, you might feel exhausted, you might feel dizzy. You also might feel a lot of bliss and tingling. I know that right now I've been feeling tingling emanating from my root chakra, going up into my heart, out my hands, and down my feet through my kidney meridians and my heart chakra. And it's a really nice feeling. And so I like to take time to let myself feel it and to drink a ton of water and move your body, move your body, move your body. And just know that as Venus rises up from the underworld in the spring, and we're done with this time of like really intense releasing, and also this time of being in this visionary realm, a lot of activity is going to happen in our world, most likely. You're going to see a lot of projects that will start to sparkle. A lot of new ideas are going to start sparkling inside of you, and you'll be like, I don't know where that came from, but I feel really excited to be committed to this. Because the overtone of Aries that Venus is in, the feminine energy, is all about the desire to make commitments that make her sparkle, that make her want to get up in the morning and say yes. And so that's coming for many people, particularly people that are 8, 16, 24, and multiples of 8, but really for us, for the whole world. So that's what's happening astrologically now. Does anyone have a burning question? So I'd like to just end it with beginning to set us up for the Bliss Cafe, because one of the reasons I like doing the Bliss Cafe is because it softens us so that these new energies can come in. Think of yourself dissolving, your body dissolving and merging with light. So we're actually going to do that. And then we're going to find a nice cozy spot, and I'll put the needles in, and Eric will play for you. And we will just allow this beautiful energy of our connection to our feminine to melt away our resistances, to melt away anything that stands in the way of us living a magical embodied life and taking our place in the dance of the new, and to feel nurtured. So I'd like you to just feel yourself sitting, let yourself let go of everything I've said. It was a lot of words. And you don't have to really remember it. Most important is to let yourself feel connected once again to your breath, breathing into your belly, and just exhaling all of the mental thoughts and what was she talking about and how am I going to grasp at this, and maybe wiggle a little bit. And just tell your body, you're going to experience something really pleasant now.
Thank you, Lord.
And wait, just breathe in that light that's always about 2 feet above your head, that starlight. Breathe that into your heart. And exhale throughout your whole body. Feel yourself connecting to the star that you are. Letting that light melt away any hardened, numb places in you that really need to be enlivened with your own light. And set intentions with this bright light that's now residing in your heart. Set your intentions for yourself, and for everyone in the world who doesn't understand what's happening, but they sure feel it. May all beings manifest the blessings that they came to be.